The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Breakfast Huddle. Well, looking like a rather subdued start to the opening numbers for Asia. We've got markets slightly in the green, just above break-even. So pretty much tracking the mixed session we saw overnight on Wall Street. We saw the Dow squeeze out a small gain of 0.1% to set a new record. But the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq gave up some of those early gains to end lower. So I've got Justin Wells, strategist at Merian Global Investors, on the line with us. Morning, Justin. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan. Good to be with you.
Hey, Justin, I'm just going to get a take first. What you feel is the market sentiment right now? I'm looking at things looking a bit toppish. You've got the US market setting new records this week. It seems a bit of optimism on the US-China trade front on phase one being reached. I'm just wondering, is this fully priced in? Because there seems to be a bit of profit taking happening right now.
It's a very interesting time, Ryan. I mean, clearly, if we look back maybe 100 days ago, we were looking at a market, certainly debt markets, that were raising some red flags about slowing domestic and international growth, and we saw that translated through into sliding yields. Now, as you've said, we are, you know, seem to be consistently hitting new historic highs in many equity markets. But I think if you look and read between the lines, you can see that it's, you know, maybe not as a rally driven by irrational exuberance or animal spirits, but driven more by policy and perceptions around policy. I think that's quite interesting. Obviously, the shorter-term numbers will always provide and attract a great deal of noise around them as well. The most recent leg up that we're seeing seems to have been driven by, as you said, you know, optimism around a phase one interim ceasefire, call it what you will, in terms of the almost attritional US-China trade tensions and the, you know, support that the central banks have obviously been giving to markets over the last few weeks as well.
Hey, Justin, so I'm just wondering, where do markets go from here? How much more upside do you see with the current market environment, with, you know, the earnings season better than expected? You've got the US-China trade front doing okay. And then, of course, you've got Brexit also in the background. Is there any more market catalysts out there?
Well, you can't be seated in London and come to Singapore without avoiding a question on Brexit. Look, I think it's clearly a very, very difficult and testing time for equity markets in the context of some of the risks that you've outlined. You know, Brexit is but one of a number of political and geopolitical potential flashpoints there. You know, what's been interesting this year is that we've seen, despite that being in the background, you know, the indices like the S&P 500 continuously reaching new highs. And again, I come back to the earlier point, if you look at what the drivers of those continuous historic highs are, they're not necessarily, you know, animal spirits, confident investors, flows going into equities. This is a rally that seems to be sustained more around the perception which investors are having about policy support. And of course, let's not forget the all-present share buyback, which, you know, has been a mainstay of supporting index performance. Because you do mention, you know, rightly, corporate profits. Your margins are coming down. We've seen essentially in the first and the second quarter something of an earnings squeeze, particularly in the US, which technically for some would constitute an earnings recession. So again, we have to look and ask very careful questions about what really is driving this. Clearly, we can see it going in one direction. Is it prompting more dislocation? Is it prompting more mispricing? Is it highlighting further inefficiencies, actually, in its wake?
Well, Chairman Justin Wells, he is the strategist at Merian Global Investors. Justin, just looking at some of the points you mentioned, some of the risk factors out there, what are the warning signs and indicators that you're using to tell you that, hey, maybe this is a time to get off equities, reduce my exposure, and what actually is your position right now?
Well, we are, you know, an equity team, so we're fully invested at all times. But I think, again, if you look at where, you know, the drivers of growth have come, investors are and have been much more comfortable all year allocating to areas like real estate, perhaps, utilities, consumer staples. So you can look at that as being almost a cautious rally. And certainly the sentiment indicators that we look at in terms of risk appetite have consistently remained quite muted. I mean, if I tell you our indicators have failed to register risk appetite above 40% risk on all year, and within the context of that overall metric, we're seeing some variance between regional risk appetites. For For example, on our measures, the risk appetite levels in Asia Pacific are very, very, very low indeed. There is a higher degree of tolerance for risk, perhaps in areas like Japan and, surprisingly, perhaps Europe. But that does not take away from the fact that despite these record highs, we're not seeing buy-in necessarily from risk appetite per se on the part of investors.
Okay, Justin, one of the indicators a lot of investors are watching are the bond yields, the 10-year versus 2-year bonds. That seems to have normalized the long-term yields going back over the short-term. Are we looking at this as a sign that recession fears are fading? How much of a slowdown are you expecting in the global economy, and how would that affect the stock market?
Well, I think we have to look at the activity of the major central banks. They responded very, very quickly, Ryan, to the almost deteriorating economic outlook that we referred to earlier in the year, around about August. You know, they came out with quite an aggressive monetary policy through a combination of interest rate cuts, bond buying, and there is a sense, perhaps, that this action, affirmative action, may have calmed investors' concerns for now. Certainly, it seems as though global yields may have bottomed over the summer, and since then, they're moving up, suggesting fears of a global recession may have eased, as you said.
Yep.
I suppose what's interesting now is looking at the recent rally, how much of this drives, you know, investors to get in for fear of missing out on further upside. So again, I think we have to sort of distill a lot of this from short-term noise in the market against, you know, where we really do see significant change, significant movement. And we come back to the same type of risks, I think, that we've alluded to throughout. That is policy uncertainty. Yep. And as you outlined quite fairly, political uncertainty, particularly in developed markets. We haven't seen this level of political instability. But, you know, we need to go back to the 1980s, perhaps the end of Glasnost and the end of Berlin Wall falling down, since we've seen developed markets facing this level of uncertainty. We only have to look at that in the microcosm of the UK election, where, you know, there's a great deal of speculation around the asymmetric nature of the potential outcomes which could flow from this. So it is an interesting point in time at the minute, and it's one that we need to be, you know, very, very aware and very alert towards. It's perhaps in a time where, you know, active managers with good stock picking skills will come into their own.
Justin, we've got to wrap things up, but before I let you go, what are the sectors you're looking at for best growth potential and markets to avoid?
It's an interesting point. I'm going to highlight the concept of value here, because value, obviously, as a theme across sectors like perhaps financials and energy, has been an area that has been beaten up quite badly. And yet and with all, we're seeing, you know, over the last few months, particularly, something of a rally, you know, the belief that there could be a mean reversion playing out in this part of the market, given that it has drawn down so significantly over the past 7, 8, or 9 years. So I think that's an area to watch, because clearly without a sustained tolerance for risk and without earnings momentum moving into those areas that might be described more as value, we have to ask just how strong are the legs of that particular rally. But it certainly contributed to the recent improvement in index level returns that we've seen since August. And it's one I think that you should continue to watch.
All right, Justin Wells, strategist at Miran Global Investors, on the line with us for the bigger picture. Thank you so much, Justin. Have a great day ahead.
Thanks, Ryan. You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.